Welcome to the Poem of the Week. As you know, poems are patient-oriented evidence that matters. Each week, our poem is intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes, and he is joined by InfoPoem's senior editor, Dr. Mark Abell. Gentlemen.
Thanks, Maggie. Good day, Mark. How are you doing?
Fine, thanks.
Our poem this week asks an interesting question. It is, are insulin analogs safer and or more effective than older insulins? Clearly, this is an area where there's lots of drugs coming on the market, lots of new diabetes drugs. We're constantly hounded by our employers for not doing a better job of managing our patients with diabetes. What does this article published in the CMAJ, which is, I guess, the Canadian Medical Association journal, say about these analogs?
Yeah, that's right. It's a Canadian Medical Association journal, and they publish quite a few good systematic reviews. And this one looks at this class of drugs that have become very widely used and certainly are heavily promoted, the insulin analogs, and that means insulin lispro and aspart, which are given instead of regular insulin, and insulin glargine and detemir, which are given instead of NPH insulin. This was a very careful meta-analysis, and they did a good job of searching the literature for any randomized controlled trials that compared insulin analogs with their older counterparts for type 1 or 2 diabetes and gestational diabetes. They didn't find anything for gestational diabetes, unfortunately. They looked at both disease-oriented outcomes, so, you know, what's the average glycated hemoglobin, and where available patient-oriented outcomes, but that was mostly limited to hypoglycemia. Unfortunately, not a single study reported diabetic complications or mortality, which are really the important patient-oriented outcomes when we're talking about treating diabetes. They found a total of 68 studies of short-acting insulins and 49 studies of the long-acting insulins, but most of the studies were of relatively poor quality. They were short-duration studies, and most were open-label, so patients and doctors knew what they were taking, and that creates all sorts of potential biases. So the authors found only small benefits in terms of glycemic control for adults with type 1 diabetes between the analogs and their older counterparts. The range of improvement in glycated hemoglobin was between 0.06% and 0.13%, so very small. There was one study of insulin detemir plus insulin aspart versus NPH plus regular insulin, and that found a 0.23% benefit in glycated hemoglobin. So again, very modest benefit, 0.23%, so it would be like taking someone from 7.5 to 7.3%. In children and adolescents with type 1 diabetes, there was no benefit seen in their meta-analysis. There were inconsistent benefits generally favoring the analogs regarding severe and nocturnal hypoglycemia, and the relative risk was in the range of 0.5 to 0.9, so that is a potential benefit. For patients with type 2 diabetes, though, glycemic control wasn't improved overall with the insulin analogs, and in fact, in one study that compared insulin glargine with NPH insulin, the glycated hemoglobin was about 0.2-0.8% higher with the analog. Three studies compared insulin detemir with NPH insulin in patients who were also using an oral drug, and they also found higher glycated hemoglobin in the patients taking the analog. On the other hand, nocturnal hypoglycemia was a little less common in patients with type 2 diabetes who were taking long-acting insulin analogs compared to those taking NPH. So the bottom line is that the insulin analogs have, you know, perhaps a benefit particularly in patients with type 1 diabetes in terms of avoiding severe nocturnal hypoglycemia, but really little clinically important benefit in terms of their effect on the A1C. The data on safety and on hypoglycemia was pretty limited, and it was reported in many different ways, and in some cases, they didn't report certain outcomes at all. So a lot of the studies look like they may have, you know, again, not been completely unbiased in how they were designed, but certainly doesn't bear out the hopes for these insulin analogs in terms of really revolutionizing type 2 diabetes management. There may be some benefit in type 1 in terms of the hypoglycemia, but again, that was modest. They did a cost-effectiveness analysis, and they looked at the cost per quality-adjusted life year. And they found that it ranged anywhere from $22,000 per quality-adjusted life year up to $643,000 for the insulin glargine. So, you know, they were pretty expensive for a modest benefit. And I think that, you know, for most patients, unless they prove that they're very susceptible to hypoglycemic episodes or really are having a difficult time, we probably still need to start with the older insulins. I can hear the diabetologist screaming in the background already. I said their pitchforks and torches are on our driveway already.
Absolutely. Well, stay tuned next week. Our poem deals with conflicts of interest and marketing of drugs. But for this week, that's been a useful tidbit. It's something that we can watch, but I guess for diabetics, we need to keep on doing what we're doing based on the trials that have been out there, UKPDS and others.
Yes.
Anyways, Mark, thanks. Thanks for your information. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right. Talk to you then.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.